I just want to say how good it is to be home. And I've told many people that it's good to be home in our safe place. And I want you to know what our safe place is. Of course, it's Jesus. But you need to know for our family, you are our safe place. You're the place where we can come and we know we're loved. We don't have to put on the Ritz or put on a happy face or jump through hoops. We know that we're going to be loved in this family. And so that's been good for us. It's been good for us to come home to our family, to our immediate, you know, blood family, but also to our family. You guys are our family. And this is Thanksgiving. And I want to say I have a lot to be thankful for. And I mean that. I have a lot to be thankful for. And the scripture that jumped out to me in the beginning of preparing for this message today was the passage that says, rejoice without ceasing. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, the only way a people can in everything give thanks is if you know what's really going on. If you know what's really going on in this universe, you can actually, in every single thing, give thanks. If you don't know what's going on, you know, I mean, if it seems like the ship is being pulled apart, the sails are being shredded, there's holes in the bottom of the boat and you're going down. That's what it looked like. If you look at the course of this life from, you know, the beginning of history as we know it until Jesus comes back, that's the shape of the ship. We are living in a world that is it's clanky, it's rusty, it's full of holes, and there's no sure thing on planet Earth. I was going to talk about that a little teeny bit in this message. Maybe I will. I'll get to it. But the reality is, we are in a fallen universe, and that fallen universe, which began with the sin of Adam, you know, a perfect creation, and everything that God made was very, very good. And he sticks Adam and Eve in that creation, and Adam and Eve sin. And then there's a number of passages of scripture. I'm not going to read them to you, but they're familiar. And the first one being in the book of Genesis, where prior to Adam and Eve sinning, God lays before them the promises and the blessing, and also the potential of a curse. He says to them, "This, you know, if everything in the garden belongs to you, I've created this whole thing for you. I want you to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion in it. And there's the tree of life. It's yours to take. Eternal life is yours. You know, take of the tree of life freely. But there's one thing I don't want you to do, and that is there's another tree in this garden, and it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I don't want you to partake of that." And we know what happened. Adam and Eve turned their back on God, and they said, "All this is not enough. God is not enough. All that you've given us, this incredible, beautiful creation, is not enough. Even you yourself, God, are not enough. We want this." And in reality, that's what happened. They turned their back. They turned their back on everything that God had given them. They turned their back on the tree of life. They turned their back on the one who is life. and they chose something else. And instantaneously, even before having taken the fruit, but in the act of turning away from God, they became idolaters. And I think we all understand what that means. An idolater is someone who looks at anything at all and desires that in the place of God. Idols are not just things made out of clay and carved out of wood or made out of stone. Idols are anything that we desire to have, to worship, to serve, or that we look to for the thing that only God should have in our lives. And the problem was that it wasn't just a single act. It was, in an instant, this became the nature of man. In an instant, man became a person who would continually turn away. And that's the history of planet Earth. Up until today, and again up until Jesus Christ comes back, we live in a world where every single human being turns away from God. And that's what Romans tells us. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, every one of us, into our own way. We chose and we choose things other than God. Now, the reason why I can say in everything give thanks is because as what I know of God, and I mean know of God, and this is the perspective that I want to give you today, is God is eternal. That means he is eternity past, he is eternity future, and he is everything in between. And so that's why you see all these passages of Scripture that tell us what God was thinking before anything was ever created. God actually tells us what he was thinking, what he was planning. As you read through the Scriptures, there are numbers of passages that indicate what was in the heart of God before creation ever came into existence. Now, I want to say it this way. They tell us what was in the heart of God before Adam and Eve existed and before you existed. God sees eternity all at once. He knows everything that's going to happen. Everything that will ever exist, everything that he will ever create, he knows, and I often say it this way, he knows the pathway of every particle, every quark, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, every electron. He knows everything there is to know about everything infinitely. He is all-knowing, but he knows it eternity past and eternity future. That's why he says things like, Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. That's why Ephesians says, he saw you in Christ before the world began. Okay, so I want you to see today, and I want to reemphasize, these are some things that you know, but this is the foundation. This is the foundation of me being able to stand up here a week after my daughter has passed away, and I have joy in my heart. I have sorrow. I have joy in my heart. It's what puts solid ground under my feet. My life isn't shaken. My world isn't shaken. You know, it's painful. There's agony in the thing. There's been a great loss. But today, I stand on absolutely rock-solid ground. Okay? And I want you to know that about our family. You know, we're struggling with the grief. We're struggling with all the things that happen when you lose somebody. But there's a reason why I feel the way I feel. There's a reason why I can stand here this morning and I can offer honor and praise to my God and give him glory and say, thank you, Jesus. I can thank him in everything. You see, because this vision that God has of eternity, it included my daughter. Before there was even the dream of her in our hearts, she was already in God's heart. Before there was an existence of Leah, she already existed as far as God was concerned. God knew everything about her. She knew all of the strengths, all the weaknesses. She knew every moment of every day. He knew it all. He knew all the struggles that would come, you know, in her birth, which some of you have read about, some of you know about, you know, that she would be a miracle child after 6 babies lost and a tubal pregnancy. She would be number 8 in line, after number 9, actually. Thank you. She would be number 9 in line. And those other little lives, which we very strongly believe, that life just starts at, conception. We believe all those little babies are with Leah right now. And that's why life is valuable, is because it begins at conception. But Leah, finally this baby takes. She hangs on, and my wife gets appendicitis at 4 months. And she's 4 months pregnant. She's lost a bunch of babies already, had a tubal pregnancy. And now the doctors are saying, we don't know if we can save you or your baby. Mo went through the appendix operation, and there's Leah holding on. But God saw all that. And I want to say, that passage that Mo quoted, more blessed is the day of our death than the day of our birth. We rejoice in the days of births. We celebrate the days of births. Days of births are incredible things. They're time for great rejoicing. But it's God. Listen to God. See from God's perspective. Yeah, praise God. It's an amazing thing. Look at this birth. Look at this beautiful life that has come into this world. What an amazing thing. And we're so happy we get to be with this girl. From God's perspective, more blessed is the day of our death. More precious is the day of our death than the day of our birth. How can you say that? How can a person say that? The only person that can say that is someone who sees eternity, whose eyes are not on just what happened in the past, and not just on the birth, and not just on the life, but on the eternity. You see, we are stuck in a physical world with very limited physical perspective. I'm being really honest with you. Okay? One of our problems is we live in physical bodies in a physical world, and it makes it so that this other world that is actually eternal. This one here has a beginning and an end. This planet and all that's in it has a shelf life. It has a start date and it has an end date. And the Bible tells us about this physical world. This whole universe is going to roll up like a scroll one day. It's going to be done. The physical universe as we know it is going to be done. But we live our lives, and this is part of the problem that God has to deal with in all of us, is we tend to live our lives for this right here. What's in front of us. As though this is all there is. Now, I challenge you. You want to do a complete Bible study. Start in the book of Genesis. Go all the way through the book of Revelation. And see how much of that Bible is about what's to come. It's massive. It's huge. In actual fact, the stages of God's redemption of this fallen world were seen in the Old Testament and through the church age. And what's to come? These things were all foreseen and they were spoken of. And when you have the apostles, you know, this incredible chapter in the book of Hebrews where it talks about all the giants of the faith, and you listen to what they had in God, what they experienced in God, you know, and it talks about Abraham through faith did different things, and Sarah and so on, and all the prophets. It gives this long list of incredible acts. But it says about them, every single one of them died without having received the promise. They saw the promise afar off, and that's why they were people of faith. They lived their lives on earth as though they were sojourners, traveling through, pilgrims on planet earth, and their faith was in something beyond this life. And then the Bible says that's why they are included in that great company, the champions of the faith. It's because they saw something more. They saw something greater. Now, if you read through Jesus, the writings of Jesus, you could skip the Old Testament. Just start with the words of Jesus and see how much he talked about the future. What's coming? You know, his whole purpose in coming into this world was for what's coming. His whole purpose in coming into this world and dying was to make sure that you get what's coming. His purpose in coming into this world was to destroy the thing that happened with Adam and Eve, that death would passed on all men because of Adam's sin. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came to do away with the result that happened because of not only Adam's sin, but all of our own sin. That's why he came. He came to give us a future. We have a future. Now, one of the passages that I wrote down and stole Randy's Bible for, I want to read you this. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, these are all very familiar passages. I'm going to go back to a couple verses before, starting in verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory, of God's glory, displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. So we preach Jesus, who from God said, "Let light shine out of darkness," and he caused his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. Now listen to the next words. The glory of God that's displayed in the face of Jesus Christ, a light that shines in our hearts, a light of the knowledge of God's glory. Listen to this. We have this treasure, the treasure of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It's the treasure. It is in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the knowledge of God, of all that God is doing, of all that God has planned, of all that God did in Christ, of all of what our future holds. It is the vision that's in the face of Jesus Christ that was from the foundation of the world until the end of time. Now listen to this. We have this treasure of this knowledge in earthen vessels. that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Now I need you to hear this, guys. Jesus said, as a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid, so let your light shine before men. He said, I am the light of the world. He also said, you're the light of the world. What is that light? He has caused the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine in our hearts. The good news about Jesus Christ, he's caused it to shine in our hearts. And now it's resident in earthen vessels. And now we are the light of the world. This thing that has happened, this message that was in Jesus Christ, has come and taken up residence. It is a treasure inside us, inside these earthen vessels. Okay? Don't stop thinking here. Some of you guys are looking at me like deer in the headlights. Okay? I don't want to lose you here. This is very important. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power from God is from God and not from us. This thing, this presence, this knowledge of God, it does something inside of us. It causes us to be a certain way. It points us in a certain direction. It makes our makes us live our lives with certain values. It separates us from things unto other things. And it causes us, in a world that is all going in a certain direction, why are we going the direction we are? Why are we swimming upstream? Why aren't we just like everybody else? Because something has happened to us. An illumination has happened inside of us that there is more to this life than this life. And that life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that light has shone in my heart. And my heart will never be the same. And now, that light didn't just shine in a moment of time at this moment. It shone for me, all of eternity past, all of eternity future. I now see where I am in the plan of God right here, right now. That's a treasure that God put inside of earth. That knowledge is a treasure that is able to set people free. That knowledge set me free. That knowledge set Leah free. Okay? But listen to what he says next. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not of us. Listen to this. Isn't this what we've experienced? We are hard-pressed on every side. We are crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death. Listen to this. For Jesus' sake. We are being given over to death for Jesus' sake. That's in the Bible. And that's the truth. We are being given over. We carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Christ also might be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. So that life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus, here's this future thing Eternity past, eternity future. What is it? What is this illumination that's come into our soul? We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is perishing, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I want you to think about Leah when you think about that. And I want you to think about your life. Okay? You want to know what's really going on here? You want to know what's really happening here? The afflictions, the struggles, the difficulties, the suffering. You know, why is it that we can't seem to get by one stinking year without some more major thing happening? You know? And if it isn't happening to us, it's happening to somebody we love. I'm talking everything, guys. I'm talking everything that can be trusted in this world is crumbles. You have a hope, a dream, a vision, a desire, and the world we live in is shifting sand. Okay? Our economy. You know, partner relationships, you name it. There's dozens of things that they come and go just like, and we wonder what's going on here? What's happening to us? What's happening in this life? And then all of us, and I mean all of us, are wasting away. You know, we from the time of our birth until the time of our death, we're wasting away. Some waste away more quickly than others. It's true. That's the nature of the fallen world that we live in. I wrote down several passages of scripture. I'm not going to read them to you. Where God says, he says you can't add a single month to your life. It says the day of your death is an appointed time. He knows the exact moment of your death. I want to say to you, God knew the exact moment of Leah's death. It didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by chance. God knew. And I, along with the thousands of others, prayed for a certain outcome. I wanted a certain outcome. You know, I wanted my daughter to be healed. Did not want her to die. I wanted her to spend the rest of her days with grandchildren, with me. That's what I wanted. And I think all of us wanted that. But I want to tell you something. There is another one who wants something. And his understanding is much different and much greater than ours. And he sees eternity past and he sees eternity future. And I want to tell you today, I could walk out of this place and be run over by Cassandra's little short Mercedes. I might have to be run over a few times, but the truth is that not a single one of us knows if this is not the day of our death. But God does. And I can't tell you that I understand his purposes. I don't understand his purposes. I just know he does all things well. I know that, you know, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Now, I want to emphasize this one thing about Leah. Okay? The Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Okay? I got to be with Leah, and I'm just going to share a little bit of my personal thing. Mo and Ryan and some other family members were the primary caregivers for Leah. I was down there a long time, but my job was a little bit different than theirs. I did minister to Leah, but not in the same way that they did. And I can't explain, maybe it was just a gift from Jesus, but on the day that she passed away, the night before she passed away, and for a couple days before, she wanted me. And so the night that she passed away, you know, Mo and Ryan went back to the house, and I was the one. It was the first time ever, first time in a whole year and a half, I got to stay in the hospital room with Leah alone. And the time leading up to that, the last 4 days, something was happening where Leah's heart, she just wanted me. And it's not that she didn't want the others, she wanted them too. But she was reaching out to me. And I got to do things like when she had to go to the bathroom and she couldn't stand, you know, I would pick her up, put my arms under her shoulders, you know, and I would help her stand up. But she wouldn't go quickly to the bathroom. She would wrap her arms around me. She'd bury her face in my chest. And we would just stand there, through holding me. And then, you know, I've told my daughter I loved her almost every day of her life that I was with her. I've told her I loved her. Last few days, I was telling her, I would say things, Leah, you know that I love you. And she would say, I know that you love me. I know that you love me. I told her that over the last few days several times. The last words that Leah spoke before she passed away. I said, Leah, I love you. But your last words were, I love you too, Daddy. I love you too, Dad. And maybe God knew that I just needed that. I love you, Daddy. But I had such a clear revelation. I'm just the daddy that God lent to Leah. And she's the daughter that belonged to another daddy that daddy lent to me. And I really felt it, and I wrote it, that when Mia passed away, you know, she was leaving me, yes, in a way, but I really felt the handoff. You know, I did. It was so clear, so powerful, because I'm not ultimately her real daddy. I'm her earthly daddy. But her real daddy is our Heavenly Father. And that's why more precious is the day of our death than the day of our birth. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Daddy wanted Leah. You want to know why? Thousands and thousands of people can pray a certain way and it doesn't get answered. It's because there's a daddy who knows what he wants and has a plan. And I'm saying this to you, brothers and sisters, because there's all kinds of voices out there that I do not believe are God, that say this isn't what God's planned. I know this was God's plan. I have absolute peace today, because she just passed from my hand into her Heavenly Father's hand. You see? I got to shut this down. I have tons more to say. But can I say to you, all eyes were on Leah in our community. All eyes were on Leah. Thousands of eyes were on Leah. And for whatever reason, I believe it's also the purposes of God, the purpose of her sickness. If there is a purpose for a sickness, the purpose was to get all eyes on Leah. It was so that every heart would be turned toward her. Everyone would desire. Everyone would look upon her. And everyone would examine her life. Everyone would share about who she was. Everyone would be impacted by her. Now, we know Leah. You know, I know Leah better than most of you. I know her strengths and her weaknesses. Her strengths were very, very, very incredible strengths. And her whole life, she gave her life away. And there was a reason why all eyes were on Leah. Because of how she lived her life. Now Leah has slipped away. And those eyes have now turned mostly to our family. Because everyone, you know, now they want to know is, how are you going to respond? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are you going to be? You know, what's it going to be like now that your daughter's gone? So the spotlight, if you like, the microscope is now on us. And I also want to say it's on you. Because it isn't just us, it's the Christian community. It's this church. It's the rest of the church of the city. And I quoted you this passage of Scripture that says that God shone an incredible light into our hearts, the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then he took that light and he put it inside earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power might be of him and not of us. I want to tell you that we actually have one of the greatest opportunities that all of us as individuals and us as a family and all of us as a church and the church of the city, one of the greatest opportunities we have ever had to radiate the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in this event. Now, does God have other purposes? You know, obviously he has infinite purposes that we don't even understand. But I believe that's one of the purposes. You see, God gave me a word. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. If it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. That was my prophetic word regarding Leah's life. And I believe it's happening. All over the city, there are people who've been affected. Now, you get a chance, this week especially, but beyond that, you get a chance to shine. You get a chance to be light and love and welcome and belonging to a city, a whole city. Because of what we know. Because of what we know about Jesus. And because of what we know about Leah. I said all I can say. Is that okay? Yeah. And I've been... Churches have been saying we're going to be praying for you. And I've asked them, I said, you can pray for our family, that's fine. Pray for our community. Pray for these souls. Pray for this harvest. Pray for all these unbelievers who are affected. I don't know exactly how it's all going to happen. It may happen over years. But I believe that there's going to be a harvest from Leah's life. So... you want to pray to him? Can we pray? Pray for that.
Father, what a privilege, Lord, to, Lord, be shown some of what you are doing, Lord. And God, we just want to join with you, Lord, in this. Whatever you have, Lord God, you put this cry in our hearts for our community. Lord, We've prayed, Lord, for the many souls who cry out because they don't know you, Lord. And, Father, we pray for our community right now, Jesus. Lord, let this be their time, Lord. Let this be the time, Lord, that many come to know you, that many come to see who you really are. Father, that... they would receive a revelation, Lord, a life-changing revelation of their sin and their Redeemer. God, and I pray that you would use us as your church, Father, to love our community. Lord, do amazing things here, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.